Berlin International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch rural broadcasting system in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
This is the Happy Station Show, Tribute to Radio.
Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to the International Happy Station. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. Now, for those who are tuning in for the first time, you're wondering, what was that intro about? Well, last year when we did the show, we did occasional specials called Happy Station's Tribute to DXers. For the new year, I decided to broaden the scope, and it's going to be called Happy Station Show Tribute to Radio. Now, the tribute to radio that we actually had scheduled for today has been put to the back burner for the very good reason. The reason being the earthquake that struck Haiti on January the 12th. For anyone that's been paying attention to the international news media organizations such as CNN International, BBC World Service, Radio France Internationale, Radio Netherlands, and many others have been devoting much of their coverage to that 7.0 magnitude earthquake that struck the Caribbean nation. On today's edition of Happy Station, and this being our first tribute to radio show, we're going to be dedicating it to the Haiti relief work, but not from organizations like the United Nations and others who are on the ground at this very moment trying to assist those who've been affected by the quake, but more appropriately, the ham and amateur radio operators who are actually the first to provide assistance to those on the Caribbean island. Now, let's quickly look at a little bit of a timeline at the events that occurred. On January the 12th, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake hit Port-au-Prince at 16:53 local time. At 9 o'clock local time in the evening, the first reports started coming in about the devastation that was caused by the quake. This, by the way, is the strongest quake to hit Haiti in around 200 years. Even though we're still a few days into the relief work, it's almost just over a week, the amount, or rather I should say the figures, of those injured or killed in the disaster are still unknown. The International Red Cross estimates that it could be between 45 and 50,000 people, while the Haitian Interior Minister, Paul Antonio Bien-Aimé, believes it could be as high as 200,000. Many international organizations are on the ground now in Haiti trying to assess the situation, but because of the lack of infrastructure in Haiti, it has become, well, almost in some cases, near to impossible. Roads have been blocked from the fallen buildings, and telecommunications are almost non-existent. But yet, the first group of people that were able to get a picture of the situation on the ground have been the amateur and ham operators. Today's edition of Happy Station is going to be dedicated to that group of men and women who have been working nonstop, 24 hours a day, with very little rest, to try to establish radio communications with the ham radio operators in Haiti. Now, when I first heard that this earthquake hit, I went to a website called globaltuners.com. which I am a member of. At globaltuners.com, you can tune into different radio tuners around the world, and you can listen to ham and shortwave in that specific area. I decided to check out that website and go to the Saturn frequency. Now, what is Saturn? Saturn is an organization that was set up by the Salvation Army. It stands for Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. They have three frequencies that they use, 14.265 megahertz, 7.265 megahertz, and 3977.7 kilohertz in the upper and lower sidebands. I decided to check out one of the frequencies to see what was going on, and the amount of traffic was absolutely astonishing. They were making calls like the one we're going to take a listen to now every 10 to 15 minutes.
This is November 9, Hotel Echo. Do you want me to take and place the next call over?
Yes, if you can do so, please. My handwriting was horrible. Go ahead with the call the affected area if you can, please.
CQ, calling any station in Haiti or Dominican Republic, the affected area of the earthquake. This is November 9, Hotel Echo, calling for Saturn net control.
And that was a small sampling of the message that has been going out nonstop from Saturn, directed to radio hams on the Caribbean nation of Haiti. Now, the ones making the calls were not just the Saturn control centers, but also various hams in the United States and the Caribbean, trying to establish contact. To find out a little more about the work from Saturn and how it all began, I contacted Major McPherson from the Salvation Army, who started it all in 1989. I want to begin by asking you about Saturn, which Saturn, by the way, stands for Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. This has started off in the 1980s by yourself. Where did the idea come about to create this?
Well, I think probably it evolved from the fact that, the acronym itself relates to a celestial term, which most amateur radio, seemed at the time amateur radio operators or organizations were, planets. Mars, A-R-E-S is a celestial term, and it seemed like the idea of Saturn fit into it, but really the embryo of it started... in 1972, before I had any idea I was going to be a communicator, with the advent of the Rapid City flood, which actually a Salvation Army officer was killed, Rapid City, South Dakota. And when we sent equipment out there, no one could talk to each other. We shipped equipment from all over the territory. And I have somewhat of a disaster reflex. I grew up in Kansas City. I have a great team there. And I always developed disaster teams wherever I went. I got involved in communications. And at some point in time, early on, probably early 80s, the idea of having a team called Saturn came to mind. The team, the amateur team, actually didn't start until 1988, but it seemed like that was a good fit.
Mm-hmm. So when you started this off in 1989, what exactly and how is the network set up?
Well, that's another interesting thing. I was asked to coordinate the Heartland Division, which is Central Illinois and Eastern Iowa, and I wanted to include communications in it. And originally, the idea was, well, I could get on an HF radio and go anywhere in Central Illinois, Eastern Iowa, find the right frequency, and talk back to the divisional headquarters and give them an understanding of what had happened in the disaster. So we started this regional-type team, which with the idea that, of course, if a person is a Saturn member, they want to help support major events, too, even though we weren't the persons really primarily tasked with responsibility. But about 10 days after we started the team, I got a call from the, in effect, the person in charge of territorial disaster services in Chicago, Illinois, asking if I could develop a team that had off-the-continent disaster communication potential. And then a couple years later, I was asked to be part of the Salvation Army Metropolitan Division and be the disaster director as my only job. And it had grown for a couple of years, and when I became the director there, I'd already lobbied a few people locally and cultivated them about helping us out. And the first big response we had in that division was the Plainfield tornado of 1990. And we literally used amateur radio. We used 64 amateur radio operators a day, many of them not Saturn people, of course, because I was just brand new to the job. And they took care of 35 vehicles that were delivering food to the folks who needed feeding in the area, plus four Salvation Army primary distribution or administrative locations. And they also shadowed all the Salvation Army principals in the event 24 hours a day for 9 days, and for maybe 15, 16 hours the last 2 days of our response on the field. And that ignited the program, even though we'd been running an HF net for a couple of years, that brought a lot of new resource. The people who weren't helping us in Chicago area were listening on scanners, and, you know, it suddenly, there was an understanding, the dynamic that could bring. And for me, it kind of resolved the challenges that the Army had in South Dakota during the Rapid City flood, rather, because we had communication to every vehicle, every primary person, every location, and it really made the operation much more efficient. And we developed a huge team in the Metro Division of over 200 people who helped us with responses. And in that division, we responded for 15 years. We had a run a day, averaged over a run a day for 15 years I was a director. And not only did it bring us communication, but we got a huge resource of people with other skills and talents that actually became part of our disaster team. So it was, it was a very dynamic thing. And then it evolved from there, and we've had a number of events that were off the continent or major events on the continent where Saturn personnel came to the fore to help.
You see, something that a lot of people who are not familiar with HF or shortwave or ham radio, whatever you want to call it, are not familiar with is the fact that during the kind of a disaster that we've seen when a country like Haiti, which is the poorest country in the Americas, is hit with an earthquake of a 7.0 magnitude, how an important role HF and ham radio plays in that kind of disaster. And it's probably the same for, say, Hurricane Katrina, would you say?
Yes. It's interesting. We responded to a number of different things. And for 10 years in the program, up until 98 when Hurricane Mitch hit, we were always playing a supportive role. We actually have about 40 Saturn nets a week, if you include VHF nets, local Saturn teams, regional nets, and also the primary net, which is the 14265 net. And we always encourage our people to be supportive when the Hurricane Watch net was operating or Maritime Mobile had an event. We just said if you could support that. When there was a major event, customarily the UN had a net that would run, and I'd say support the UN net. But on 1998, I said support the UN net, and I discovered from some of my friends at Hurricane Washington that the UN net was not in existence anymore, and so we became the primary people responsible for health and welfare and emergency communications, which really is the primary in the Hurricane Mitch. And we actually jump-started the Salvation Army response to Honduras because we had such good information, and we were able to, I think, find about 500 people in Hurricane Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Katrina, and also in 98, the Saturn program became an official Salvation Army program, and I was officially appointed, even though I was a volunteer. It was all a volunteer network before that with no perceived Salvation Army financial support, but now we have our own budget. We have a database administrator, but I'm a volunteer director, but the bulk of the program is actually volunteer run. But now we have resource to send out mailings, to send out the applications, to give information out. We go to certain events like the Dayton International Ham Fest and portray what the Saturn program does, and we're able to do those kinds of things. After Mitch, the program became an official program after years of going through the somewhat legislative procedure the Army incorporates when it develops a program. And so we were able to help out officially, and the advent of Katrina was an event which, you know, the four hurricanes the year before that that hit Florida, we had in excess of 1,000 health and welfare messages just in the country. And the advent of Katrina just the next year, we had over 25,000 people who we found for loved ones. Because of the, and I want to stress, it isn't only Saturn personnel, although we do have something, we have in excess of 4,200 members in the Saturn organization, but it is the interface with all of amateur radio, because that's what makes it work. All of the people who we had MOUs with, who we never really functioned properly with before, Saturn has brought that function into a real dynamic form in the fact that we're actually using it. You know, we're actually taking advantage of those kinds of resources. And so if you monitor our high-frequency net, which is going on right now for Haiti, you will hear a number of people assisting. Not all of those are Saturn people. We're just taking advantage of the complete resource that amateur radio has to bring to the fore, which is quite powerful. And so when Katrina occurred, we were able to take advantage of that resource and through a number of things that we feel were God-directed, including a local executive in a corporation that handled a technology corporation, helped us really bring into being the opportunity to find all those people. The other thing that happened during Hurricane Mitch, one of our, you know, I talked about other skills, an engineer who is part of our Saturn team mentioned that it was might be a good idea to put a health and welfare form on the application on our website. And I didn't, you know, I'm an RF guy. I actually got dragged onto the internet kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. But actually, the last 10 years of being able to cultivate, handle membership, and maintain databases so that various local Salvation Army disaster people could find out who's actually on their net. You know, it's just been a dynamic. And the idea of putting a health and welfare application on the internet just revolutionized how health and welfare traffic is handled, because now the ham radio operator does not have to look for the telephone or mail or hand deliver the message. He can send the message right back to the person looking, and it's a lot easier to access for the people. They can actually access the web and put in their requests. So it's been a real dynamic there.
You know, I've been monitoring the past couple of days because you have three emergency channels. One is 7265 kilohertz, and you also have 3977.7 kilohertz. The one I've been monitoring is 14.65 kilohertz, and I've been hearing a lot of different ham operators who are not part of Saturn, but they're calling out there, say, well, I'm in, say, Puerto Rico, and I will try all channels to see if I can get in touch with somebody in Haiti. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, that's part of the dynamic and the goodwill expressed by those folks trying to help. It is very inspiring to all of us to see everyone who is trying to help us and to bring about the success of the operation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people with just tremendous not only ability but resources in regard to their ability to communicate via radio that we just couldn't possibly do without.
Now, with the current situation with Haiti, last night when I was monitoring, I heard a woman by the name of Linda that was putting out the call looking for people in the affected area and everything. So do you then have one center control that then will contact the different radio hams on that channel or what?
Well, we have a net control who run the net, and they use a series of relays to help because on 20 meters, especially now with the propagation the way it is, you need relays to effectively handle the traffic. And, yeah, that's what Linda was doing. She's in the Dakotas, and by the way, she is a person who is disabled. She has she's a blind person, has a seeing disability, but does a tremendous job. She helped out tremendously in Katrina, and she's one of our better net controls. And basically, she calls on her hour or her period of time that she's working, and looks for information. Sometimes we actually, you know, we've been in during one of the hurricanes, we had a person who was actually relaying health and welfare to the Met Control from a maritime mobile in one of the islands, and she managed to get traffic for all the folks who wanted their people back home to know they were okay. So, yeah, that's what happens. We have a net control. We have a relay setup of net controls that rotate throughout the day until the propagation ends, and they try to get the traffic passed. Then I also have a report to me so that I know what's going on, so I have information. And so, you know, it's a very interesting thing to observe. One of the things, for instance, in Hurricane Mitch that our people were able to communicate were two aircraft coming in right afterwards regarding which airports were safe to, where the landing strips were safe and still functional. So, you know, it's absolutely quite dynamic. And one of the interesting things about that was that a Southern Baptist relief crew was flying in on an airplane, amateur radio operators. And years later, I met the guy who was we were actually talking to, who was a pilot, and he was a member of Saturn helping the program in the Texas area.
You know, it still amazes me in this modern age of modern communications how a lot of people would say antiquated ham radio is, but it works and it's effective.
Well, it's the most primary kind of equipment. You take down a radio, you throw out a piece of wire, and you have some kind of power source, and you can talk back to the world. And the beauty of it is that all of the stuff that is so good, that has such technology and such advanced complexity, is the first thing to fail because of the very nature of its complexity. And amateur radio stations fail, too, because of the event, but we can bring people back in, and they can set up relatively quickly, and we'll have a way, we'll have a conduit right to the disaster area when we get our person there.
And I was speaking there with Major McPherson from the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. As I was surfing the internet for more information, I came across a news report from English Indiana. The news report was about two ham radio operators, KC9LKW and KC9LKS. Now, to a lot of people, those call signs won't mean anything, but they, in fact, belong to Roy and Mary Pickett in English Indiana. Both of them are not members of Saturn, but they have been assisting Saturn. So I called them up to find out a little more about what they're doing. Now, quite recently, I saw a TV report that the two of you are in, involved in relaying the or trying to establish contact with some of the radio hams in Haiti. Now we should establish first that both of you are not members of Saturn, but how did you get involved?
Well, I've been a CB operator for years, like 25 years, and we decided to become ham operators, and I've been ham operators for about 2 years now. And the reason, main reason I got into ham radio myself is to be able to help people. And this is one of the things that gives me the opportunity to do so.
Now, is this the first time that both of you have been involved in such kind of thing? I mean, the earthquake, with the earthquake in Haiti, or have there been other times in the past?
This will be the first time on such a large scale disaster. We've done local problems here with the weather, but this is our first time to step up and help out worldwide.
So when you heard about this earthquake in Haiti, how long was it before the both of you decided, you know, let's see what we can do?
I started to figure out a way to help immediately.
And was that getting on the airwaves right away, or trying to contact other hams that you know?
Yeah, we have several hams here in the Indiana state, and I went on the internet and found out what frequencies that Saturn and them were running, and we would go there and monitor. And she was monitoring on EchoLink, which is a download you can download into your computer. And this allows you to hook to repeaters that have EchoLink capability, to where you can connect your computer to their computer and transmit from their repeaters. So she's been working with an organization right now. I forget the name of it. She could probably tell you.
Yes, I signed up Thursday to become a supporter. I'm not a full-fledged member yet. It's called International Radio Emergency Support Coalition.
So between the two of you, how are you dividing the time between Echolink and the regular HF bands? Are you dividing up the time between both of you?
Well, no, I would running the HF band radio, and she's in here on Echolink. So we're kind of, she's doing one and I'm doing the other. But if somebody on the HF radio needs assistance on something, I would let her know, and she would put it on this Echolink, and or vice versa. So we're kind of relaying back and forth between the two.
Now, since the two of you have been quite active with this for the past few days, has there been any type of contact from any of the hams in Haiti? Now I know that, Mary, you told me earlier that you'd heard something from an operator by the name of Father John, who is a priest in Haiti.
Yes, as far as I know, as of yesterday, he was the only one with the HH call sign that was up and running.
Mm-hmm. And what was the gist of what you'd heard that was being reported on from him? Or was there, he didn't have enough power?
The last I heard, he was going to have to shut down because he was running low on battery power. That
right.
That was the last that I heard.
Now, do both of you know if there is some equipment being sent down to Haiti to establish contact?
From what I understand, the U.S. has got some people going down there, or actually down there now, and they're trying to set up their equipment to be able to send word back and forth between the states, I believe.
You know, it's quite amazing, and something that I've said on other occasions when we've talked about ham radio, it's amazing how a technology which some people would say would be out of date is, in today's world, still very effective, and when everything else fails, because a lot of the modern technology that we're using is extremely problematic to certain situations, but ham radio always seems to get through.
Yeah, and nowadays, ham radios, a lot of the bigger HF radios are computer controlled to begin with. So nowadays, ham radio is far from out of date.
Roy and Mary Pickett, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, sir.
And if you want more information about Saturn, check them out online at www.saturn.org. That's www.saturn.org, or just do a search in Google for the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special edition of the Happy Station Show, paying tribute to radio, but more specifically to the men and women out there who are putting in many hours to assist the emergency crews and relief workers headed down to Haiti. Our website for PCJ is www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And the email address for the Happy Station Show is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. Some of the first contact made with Haiti was with Father John. Father John's call sign is HH6JH. The Saturn network, as well as others, had to relay their messages in many cases through other ham operators in the Caribbean. We now bring you an excerpt of one of those early communications with Father John.
Roger, roger. Well, thank you very much. We'll just stay, if you can be on frequency here, we'd appreciate it. K5YG, back over to J39 Bravo Sierra, and let's just see, Father John, HH6 Juliet Hotel, is there any other messages? Over. QSL is taking anywhere between an hour and 45 minutes to go by boat. Derek, did you copy that whole transmission?
Affirmative, John. K51H, Hotel, Hotel 6 Juliet Hotel, J39 Bravo Sierra. He said that the people who returned to the island did not go the whole way by boat. They went on foot and then by a boat, which takes an hour to an hour and 45 minutes depending on the sea condition. And that's how they returned to their island. Over.
All right, QSL, well, thank you very much. My understanding is that they traveled by foot, then by boat, and that it was like, in any case, thank you very much for the information. Father John, back over to you. HH6 Juliet Hotel, K5YG in the Saturnet. Over. It's QSL, Father John. Well, thank you very much, and we'll be here. You come in and call us anytime while we have propagation. So HH6 Juliet Hotel, Kilo 5 Yankee Golf 73 of this the Saturn emergency net, turning it over to J39 Bravo Sierra. Derek.
Okay, K5YG J39 Bravo Sierra. Father John, before you go,
And that was just some of the ham operators contacting Father John. Of course, I edited that for time reasons. As you can see, the message was being sent from the United States to a ham operator in the Caribbean and then to Father John. Father John apparently is operating his ham radio station on batteries and a backup generator. One of the first people to contact Father John was Bill Stourage. Bill Stourage is with the Maritime Mobile Services Net. Bill, thank you for taking some time out to talk with me today. I'd like to begin by asking you, there has been contact with some radio hams in Haiti, correct?
This is correct, sir. We've made contact with three radio stations. In fact, they called the net on 14300 upper sideband. Father John, Hotel 6 Juliet Hotel, and another station, Jean Robert, Hotel 6 Juliet Romeo. And just recently today, in the last hour, we've had contact with another station, a radio station. I'm at a radio station, Hotel 2, Quebec, Charlie Sierra, David. And they've been passing information that has been of great help to the federal agencies in this country, helping them set up supplies and relief for the people in Haiti.
Now, how long was it after the earthquake that you first made contact with Father John?
That was very early in the morning on the 13th. So most of the night there was no communication, but very early on the 13th mm-hmm. of January.
So then yourself and the organization that you're with, you've been at this literally since day one.
Continuously with both the Intercontinental Amateur Traffic Net, I'm a net control station, and with the Maritime Mobile Service Network, I'm a net control station. It's recognized as a global center of activity frequency for any emergency traffic and by all the regions, 1, 2, and 3, for amateur radio, over.
Now, with the Amateur Radio Mobile Network, around how many members do you have that are assisting to try to establish contact with radio amateurs in Haiti?
There are 10 stations that are always on watch that have propagation with the area, but there are 65 to 75 members of the Maritime Mobile Service Network and another 70 members of the Intercontinental Amateur Traffic Net that are active as well, monitoring continuously.
Now, considering that most of the main language in Haiti is Creole and French, do you also have members that do speak some French in case there's some ham radio operators out there that don't speak English?
We have been inundated with help from Canada, from all the Caribbean islands, and offers of help and translation help from especially Victor Echo 2 Delta X-Ray. A very good translator in Canada. So when we have had any language barriers or just even a question mark as to whether the station is in Haiti. It may not be an amateur radio station. That may be just a station that's been set up by somebody without an amateur call sign. So we have utilized those stations that have translation capabilities. Yes, sir.
What's quite amazing with this, and something that I've always had a great amount of respect for, especially with ham radio operators, is that you have been able to also have people over outside of Haiti be able to talk to family in Haiti. How does that exactly work?
We're very lucky to have skilled operators with phone patches, and we pick the operator that has the best propagation or the best connection with the operator in Haiti, and they can connect them directly to the phone lines in this country and make calls to anywhere in the world from his station. And we've managed to do that for Father Jean Robert, to his relatives, to let them know he's well. Also for Father John, to let them know he's well. And also for David.
You know, it also amazes me that, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people maybe will say, you know, oh, we don't need, you know, HF anymore because there's all forms of different forms of communication. But something that I've always said is that in case of an emergency, satellite and internet will always have problems, but HF will always get through.
Unfortunately, with modern communications, they use high frequency and therefore only travel short distances, so they need towers, and those are the first communications that go down.
Mm-hmm.
And the satellite communications are very easy to lose with cloud cover, and Haiti's been covered with cloud since the beginning of this situation. So even with the solar power they're using to charge the batteries for the radios, they are having some problems. They need fuel. It is a problem. But the main communications disappear. The infrastructure is gone. So they are working very hard to get that infrastructure back up. But until then, HF is really the only means of communication.
Bill, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to us today, and I hope that you can get some rest very soon.
Keith, we feel tremendously for the people down there. We will stay here till we drop, literally. And our prayers are out for them at this time. And thank you, Keith.
And I was speaking there with Bill Sturridge of the Maritime Mobile Services Network. They also have a website, which is www.mmsn.org. That's www.mmsn.org. While I was monitoring the air traffic from the United States directed to Haiti, we just heard a moment ago Bill mentioning that there's some phone patches that have been going through from loved ones in the United States who wish to contact their family members in Haiti. During my a few hours of monitoring, I came across one of those. It was a mother in the United States wanting to contact her son in Port-au-Prince, who was located near the U.S. Embassy. Now, what does this sound like exactly? Well, this is a little excerpt which I've edited down for time reasons to give you an idea of what a phone patch is via ham radio.
Okay, very good. Let me, James, HH3/KE4, November Radio Charlie. This is K5YG, K5YG, do you copy? Okay, I'm going to go ahead, Mom, go ahead and talk to your son.
Hey, am I talking to Joe or am I talking to James?
Am I talking to Joe or James? Over. Go ahead.
Okay, tell him that, Joe, James, we're just really concerned about you. Our buildings and walls still falling. Over.
And that's just the sound of what a phone patch sounds like via ham radio. And quite amazing. It is totally, totally amazing, I still have to say. You're listening to the International Happy Station Show, a special show called Tribute to Radio, but more a tribute to the ham radio operators out there, the many thousands of men and women who are putting in many hours to support the relief effort for Haiti.
Thank you.
A few months ago on the show, my special guest, Thomas Witherspoon, joined us to talk about Ears to Our World. The U.S.-based charity sends self-powered shortwave radios to teachers and schools in Africa. Ears to Our World has just announced they're going to be sending 100-plus radios to Haiti. I contacted Thomas Witherspoon for more details. Let's get on to the relief work from last week's devastating earthquake. It was the strongest earthquake to hit Haiti in almost 200 years. It was a 7.0. You're getting involved in that, and you're going to be sending some 100 plus radios down. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes, actually, you know, Ears to Our World, we've been on the show before and talked about our mission work. Our mission is focused around providing self-powered radios to classrooms in the third world. When we saw the devastation from this earthquake, and I think it was when I also heard news reports about rumors that were spreading through the community while people are just standing around in the streets. They have no place to go in Port-au-Prince, and rumors would surface about a tsunami, about other bad things, and people in a panic would run, they would hurt each other, and looters would kind of come in and take advantage of the situation, because word of mouth can spread like a virus, some really bad information and misinformation. When I heard this, our board of directors had already been discussing it. We've been talking about if there's a way that we could help out with the Haiti relief with our self-powered radios, because we know that radio is a key to getting information and getting it quickly. It's like we've mentioned before on the show, when your power goes out or a natural disaster hits your own area, mm-hmm. no matter where you live, your radio is about the first place you go for information. So we, as a board, decided to broaden our mission in this case and to provide some humanitarian radio relief. And so I got on the horn and talked to a partner of ours that we just started a relationship with called Operation USA, and they are basically logistics support for humanitarian relief around the world. And they're very excited. They have no partner that supplies self-powered radios, so we'll probably be working with them in the future. And they're a very, very reputable organization, and they will help us distribute those radios. We're not quite set up to do that logistics that it takes, because as you've probably seen on the news, getting things into and out of Haiti right now, it's a confusing mess, and the pipeline's very clogged up, and they want to make sure that what's needed is really needed. And our radios are one of the things that they've decided are extremely important right now. And also the radios have a flashlight on them, and that's also one of the things that they've requested.
This leads me to the question, because, I mean, even in the best of times in Haiti, Haiti's infrastructure is probably the worst of any country in the Americas concerning infrastructure. It's also the poorest country in the Americas. Now, during this situation, a lot of the relief work didn't arrive immediately, and that was because of the infrastructure in place, and aid organizations have had to try to find the best way to get help to the people that need it the most. So this organization itself, do they already have their own network in Haiti, and they have their own people on the ground that can assess the situation to find out the best way to get these receivers to these people?
Yes. In fact, the reason we sought them out, actually it came through a State Department connection I have, and he had told me, hey, this is an extremely effective way and a very trusted source to get things into Haiti right now. In fact, to any part of the world where they need disaster relief, they've got a good track record, they're very reputable. When I contacted them and talked to them about it, I'd asked them, you know, how they work. And basically, they have partner NGOs there on the ground, and they, you know, they piggyback on these other humanitarian relief efforts. And what they specialize in are basically the logistics support. You know, they make sure that things get there, that they're distributed the way they're supposed to. And as they told me, you know, ears to our world radios will get in the hands of people who need them the most. And so we were, you know, we were very encouraged by that and excited about it. And they've got, you know, again, such a great track record of doing this. But as you were saying, you know, the scary part about what happened in Port-au-Prince, quite a lot of NGOs and humanitarian organizations are based there for Haiti. And on top of that, they have buildings that are built to the same standard that the other buildings were built to, which were not in Haiti to withstand, you know, a 7.0 earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the humanitarian organizations are scrambling because they themselves have lost people. They've lost workers, they've lost directors, they've lost buildings. The Haitian Health Foundation, who we just started working with, they lost their building and, in fact, had concerns they'd lost some of their staff. Fortunately, they had not, but they've lost their building, so they don't even have a, you know, a home place to work out of.
Well, the same thing happened actually to the United Nations office in Port-au-Prince. It was severely damaged, and the reports that I have been reading is that they've had to find different locations to be able to operate from, which is difficult because phone lines are down, mobile service, from when I last checked, is sometimes not even working.
And on top of that, many of the buildings that are still standing are still dangerous, and they're still having in Haiti, as we're doing this interview, they're still having aftershocks that shake up those buildings, and quite a few of them, you know, continue to collapse. So people are afraid to go into the buildings, which they should be. They've been warned not to go into standing buildings yet until they're inspected. And you're talking about an earthquake that took down parts of the presidential palace, and out of all the buildings that would be in Haiti, you know, that would be one that you would expect to stand, and it didn't.
Now, let me ask you, because normally Ears to Our World sends the radios to schools and teachers, but for the relief work that you're doing with Haiti at the moment, what kind of individuals will you be sending the radios to, or will it also still be schools and teachers?
Quite possibly. This will be one of the, you know, for us, it's sort of a different thing. We have a lot of control over who gets our radios when we do our normal business, and we like that because it's very, you know, we're very accountable. We sign partnership agreements with every individual that receives one of our radios. But in a humanitarian relief situation, we don't have quite that control simply because decisions are being made on the ground. They're being made very quickly. And basically, our radios will be going to relief workers to distribute, to community people, to hospitals, to aid facilities. Many of them will basically be community radios where they'll have them, you know, playing, and people will be listening, and you'll probably have 50 people listening to one radio at a time.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants more information about the relief work that Ears to Our World is getting involved with Haiti at the moment, people can get all the information at the website, correct?
That's correct. You can check our website, which is earstoourworld.org, or simply etow.org. We're going to post updates on the website. Our news is basically our main homepage right now, and you'll be able to see our updates on the situations. We're doing a special fund drive for Haiti right now, and if you'd like to contribute, if you just donate through PayPal, there's a link right on the website to do that. And we're receiving donations from around the globe, and quite a lot of our donations are coming from radio listeners and shortwave radio enthusiasts, because they understand better than anyone else the importance of radio. We'll let you know how progress goes, and any monies that we receive during this time period, we're going to allocate for our radio shipments and possibly future radio shipments as well into Haiti, because, quite frankly, this isn't going to go away overnight. This is something that's going to be sustained for quite a long time, and we'd like to keep supporting it.
And I was speaking there with Thomas Witherspoon, the director of Ears to Our World. If you want more information about Ears to Our World, their website is www.etow.org. That's www.etow.org. And if you want more information about any of the interviews and guests on today's show, send us an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And I will forward all that information to you. If you would like to take part in a special PCJ broadcast that will be directed to Haiti on shortwave, if you have a message for your family or friends, we're putting together a special program. You can find out all the information at our website at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. The program is not connected with Happy Station at all. It's a separate special. All you need to do is first send us an email, pcjmedia@gmail.com. Include your phone number and the best time to call you. The message can be recorded in English, French, or Creole. The deadline for the recorded messages is January the 26th. And depending on if the show is successful, we will be doing a second one. You have up to 2 minutes as well. Now, if you have the capability of recording at your end, you can record an MP3 on your computer. The message could be up to 1 minute or 2 minutes long. And email the MP3 to pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. Like I said, just go to our website. You'll find out all the details. Just click on Relief for Haiti. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for Happy Station, our postal address, which I haven't given out for a long time, is very simple. Happy Station Show, 8th floor, number 47, Lane, L-A-N-E, 31, Lane 31, Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N 1, Section 1, Sanmin Road, and Sanmin is spelled S-A-N like Norman, M like Mother, I like Ivan, N like Norman, that's Sanmin Road, Banqiao, B-A-N like Norman, C-I-A-O, Taipei, Taiwan, R-O-C, 22070. And that's it, and that's all we have time for. Next week on the show is another special show. My guest is going to be Kamau. Who is Kamau? He is a well-known singer from Australia, and he'll be joining us next week on the show. So on behalf of my technician, Kevin Lee, our production assistant, Johan Backer, who's assisting me in more ways than you can imagine for this special, this is Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos. And sayonara.